You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Even if you're not a crier, you will cry on the first time you step inside a theater. If you're a theater lover like I am, we all were just like beside ourselves, just the tears, just crying, just because we didn't think it would happen, especially this soon. So it was a very emotional experience. Very.
Hey, what's going on? It's me, Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage podcast, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you've never tried a free trial with us at Built for the Stage, go to the website builtforthestage.com or simply click the link in the description of this episode. We have a super exciting, different, unique interview for you today to listen to. But before we get to it, I just want to also thank our producing team, the Broadway Podcast Network. You can check out tons and tons and tons of different types of Broadway themed podcasts. So check them out at bpn.fm. All right. We're coming from you here in the U.S., and we have a friend of ours all the way over in Australia that will be joining us on the podcast today. He's actually currently performing. Yes, you heard that correctly. He's performing in Come From Away in Australia. Please welcome to the podcast, Colby Kendall. Hey, Colby.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm doing so well, everyone listening. Colby is actually a Built for the Stage fan member, and we've been working together since May, I think. May?
Yeah. It's been a while.
Can you believe it? We're going to be approaching a year here, a one-year anniversary. Going to send you one of those new BFTS book bags for the celebration. But I wanted to publicly congratulate you on your completion percentage. You are consistently doing your workouts. So well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're fighting a little bit of a delay here on our platform as we're communicating. So if there's any long pauses out there as you're listening, just embrace the dramatic effect. We are theater lovers, aren't we?
The beauty of distance.
Yeah. We were chatting before we started recording that it's 1 a.m. in Australia, right?
Yes. And I'm a night owl, so it works, you know.
When everyone listening, when we were initially trying to schedule this interview, Colby and I were saying like, all right, well, the first interview slot's at 10, and if we do that, it'll be midnight. I could do midnight. It's all good. And now we're sitting here, and we realize that the daylight savings time took an hour away. So now actually, it's a 1 a.m. interview for Colby. Yeah.
Shook us up, but hey, we're making it work. I don't mind.
Shook us up. You're in Melbourne, correct?
Correct. I'm here for another week. We're in our closing week here, and then we go to Brisbane.
I saw that March 21st, you're there till, right? Just about 4 days away or so.
Yeah, we opened in the middle of January and we'll reopen in the middle of January and we're here till March.
And then you're heading where next?
Brisbane, which is in Queensland.
And will that be an extended sit down or how long will that be?
That's only going to be about 2.5 months. And then we go to Sydney for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm. All right, I want to get into like the closing and the reopening and the excitement of that. But you're from the States, correct?
Yeah, I grew up in Oklahoma, went to college in Ohio, and I lived in New York for the past like 11 years.
Where did you go to school in Ohio?
I went to Otterbein University.
I'm from Youngstown, Ohio, and one of my choices was Otterbein. What year did you, if you're willing, when did you go to Otterbein?
2006 to 2010.
We're the same age. We would have been classmates. Oh my goodness.
That's crazy. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my. See, I should, if we could just turn back time and we could be classmates in, at Otterbein.
Right.
Turn back time, or right now, I was actually talking to Patrick, our technician, just about like the funny, just the fact that it's today for me, but it's tomorrow as far as for me with you, you know, because it's 1 a.m. there. I'm like, we need to turn this into a musical, or there's right, something exactly. here. There's something here.
Well, all right. I'm saying it always works because if I miss someone's birthday, I'm not that far behind. I mean, I'm always a day ahead. So I'm always on time when it comes to birthdays. It's great.
Got it. So I brought up, I wanted to just reaffirm that you're from the States because you're in these productions in Australia. And I know that there's a lot of our listeners that would be curious as to how do you end up, you know, booking something from being in the States in America here, but booking something in Australia.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, so for instance, when Wicked was here, or when Hamilton just opened actually last night here, or like any show that started out in America, they use the casting agency, the same one that they would use to cast here if they're looking for American actors. And for this particular show, Come From Away, they were looking for an American actor for this role. So they went to Telsey, who cast Come From Away on Broadway in the tour, and they just found, I just auditioned that way. So I just got a call like any other audition, yeah.
Got it. The last tour you were on, though, it wasn't Come From Away. Was it Book of Mormon was your the last tour in the States? Or?
Well, I did Waitress and Waitress in this. But Book of Mormon was before Waitress, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay, cool. So you're in Australia, you're performing Come From Away, you're living your best life, and then theaters close across the globe, which was awful. Let's fast forward. Let's not relive that. We don't want to relive that. Let's fast forward to the reopening. Okay, so because here in the States, I'm actually going to the Oslo Theater's production of Camelot in Sarasota, Florida, tonight.
Oh, nice.
So I just bring that up because like we're just starting to trickle in, you know, live performances here and there. But for all of us that are wanting like full-fledged live performances, give us some joy and some hope. Tell us about what it was like to come back. Maybe like extra precautions you had to do for, you know, the health codes that are in place now with COVID. Just tell us that story of coming back to reopen.
Well, you know, it was crazy when I was in the States and they were like, oh, so you're going back to Australia in 3 weeks. And so I literally had 3 weeks to like get everything up and running. And I was like, so wait, are they ready to open? And they were like, well, yes, but these are all the things you have to do. So we like get our temperature taken every time we enter and leave the building. We get tested for COVID once a week, every Thursday. And then the audience, when we first started, everyone had to wear a mask and it was mandatory that everyone in the audience wear a mask. And that's since they've had, I think, 3 weeks without any cases, they're starting to kind of let up on that. But it's just a different world. And opening up, we were all nervous about, are people going to want to come out? Are they going to be nervous about coming back to the theater? And I can honestly say we've been sold out for the past like 2 weeks only because people are so excited to be back at the theater and people are coming back because people, I don't think we realize how much we crave live entertainment. And when it's stripped away from us, the moment we get to like relive that, we run to it. And this is proof of that. Like people have been coming out in droves.
Yeah. So does a sellout actually mean that all the seats are filled, or have they had to do some type of, okay, so they're filling it out. They're packing it out.
Yeah, for sure. So we had a 5-day lockdown here. So the show stopped for 5 days because they had, I want to say 8 cases locally. So we had a 5-day shutdown. So when we opened back up, we could only be open to like 75% capacity. So we had to let that go. That had to happen for 2 weeks, and now we're at full capacity again. So yes, full houses.
Cool. And reopening night comes. What kind of electricity was that? Because I daydream often about, whenever Broadway opens up, if I'm able to, you know, be one of the people to get to see it. I just always daydream of just how crazy exciting it's going to be. How was that experience?
It's unreal, only because I promise you the tears will come. Even if you're not a crier, you will cry on the first time you step inside a theater. If you're a theater lover like I am, we all were just like beside ourselves, just the tears, just crying, just because we didn't think it would happen, especially this soon. So it was a very emotional experience. Very.
How do the audience, you know, it is a story about 9/11, Come From Away. Actually, for everyone that's listening, maybe there are some out there that aren't familiar. Do you have like a 1-minute summary in your own words of basically what Come From Away is about? And that can kind of segue into my next question.
Yeah, just like basically the show, without making it too sad, it really is a show about 9/11. Yes, but it's really about the aftermath and what happened when this small town in Gander took in 7,000 people who couldn't get into the States when 9/11 happened. So it's about this small town taking in all these people and really just coming together as a community to take care of all these people. So the show is shot in like a documentary style, if you think about it, because everyone's telling their story about what actually happened when they were in Gander. And these are based off real people. So,
yeah, I love that so much about the show that it's based off of, you know, interviews that they actually did with the community members.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So, with this being about the story of 9/11 and it being more based on this side of the pond, how is it still relevant? Because I think you'll speak to just like the goodness of people, you know, like mm-hmm. that's buried deep inside. Some people, it seems like it's buried way deep inside, but it's in there maybe. How relatable is it to, you know, to Melbourne or to anyone in, you know, humanity that comes and sees a show? Because I feel like it's so relevant to what we've been going through this past year.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny here because there are people who love this show who were born after September 11th, 2001, you know? So, and they love this show. And I think it is what you said, human kindness. We all want that. We all want to feel loved, feel protected, feel safe. And this show does that. It taps into all of that. So I just think that that's the universal appeal of this show. Even if you grew up in Australia, you still can listen to a story about what happened in the US, which was globally felt, but you can hear a story about something that happened in the US and connect to that because it's just about human kindness.
Yeah. One of your characters, you play Bob, right? That's a New Yorker that mm-hmm. Is a bit, I'll just say, tight at the beginning. And he goes through this, you know, transformation throughout the story. Mm-hmm. What's that like for you to go to do that nightly each evening on the stage? And also, like, have you yourself said to yourself, like, since this pandemic, have you gone through subtle transformations as far as, you know, how you view yourself or the world or et cetera?
Yeah, well, I think I'm very lucky in the fact that, like, with doing this show, starting off so cynical and like Negative, really. He does. Only because he's not used to that. He's not used to people being this kind. So I'm lucky in the fact that I get to kind of just go with the audience on this journey. I feel like the audience is with me. And like, so they're kind of like, what is this show about? And like, I'm figuring out these people, like they're figuring out the show. So I'm kind of lucky to have that, like that vibe with the audience. But also, since this pandemic has happened, I'm approaching this role with so much vulnerability. I'm just like an open book. Like I'm just like so emotionally available for this role, only because this past year was an emotional roller coaster for all of us. So I feel like every actor going back into theater will be so much more emotionally willing to attack any role. I just think that's definitely going to be the case.
Absolutely. You brought up how your character Bob's not as used to people being friendly or nice. Isn't that funny how, you know, coming from a New York City experience or background where you'll go to another place and you're still in like New York mode and people are actually like smiling and saying hello to you and you're like, what did I do? What? Like, why are you talking to me right now?
Like, what are you up to?
Like, yeah, what do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want from me? What's the catch? What are you selling? How is that for you in Australia? What's the difference, you know, for our curious listeners out there? And myself, I've never been to Australia. I've never seen, I've never been in the theater scene there. You know, what's your biggest takeaways as far as differences go from the New York life, as far as theater and then, that in Australia?
Well, I mean,
or is it the same? Does theater just hold true? You know?
Yeah, theater holds true. I mean, I always say theater people are the same everywhere. And me moving here, it's true. We're all wacky, crazy people. We all want to feel validated. We always feel like we're not good enough. You know, all those things. But everyone, I can say just the people here as theater goers, it's the same. It really is the same. You have those people who seriously, every show that comes to town, they're there. They're ready. They're excited. And like they've been trying to start this thing calling this like the East End. Like you have West End, Broadway, and this is East End, because a lot of shows start in Melbourne and Sydney. Like Moulin Rouge will be here soon, and things like that. So there is a theater vibe here and people love it. And I can say being a New Yorker coming here, especially during this pandemic and seeing how seriously they've taken the pandemic and how well they've handled it, I'm just in admiration. Like I admire them so much just because they've really worked very hard to get to this point where they can have live theater. And I'm just reaping the benefits, honestly.
Right. Right. I wouldn't be honest without saying that I'm very jealous of just the support and leadership that they had to just, you know, get that all under wraps and be back so quickly.
Yeah, they did a strict lockdown here, very strict, and they just followed the rules. They really did. So with that,
amazing how that works, right?
It's really that simple. And then they talk about it. They're like, it was a really dark time. It was hard on my mental health. I had a lot, and this wasn't easy. But because they just said, it's not just about me. It's about everyone. It's about me thinking about my neighbor, thinking about this person over here. With that teamwork, they're really up and running right now, which is good.
Talking about going through, you know, a tough time, I'll rewind to like May and then the thick of 2020. How is working out? How has your fitness training helped you? Obviously, it'll help physically, but just mentally, having that being a part of your day. What's your experience been with fitness in the midst of this? Well, the pandemic for you is kind of over, quote unquote, but how was that as you were in the thick of it?
Well, I mean, when I got back to the States, I was just trying to, I left here in March, flew back to the States, and that was like the start of everything. Yeah. And I was, to be honest, I was like working out was the last thing on my mind, only because I was so just trying to process what was happening in life. And then I was like, okay, so gyms are closed. So now what do I do? And so then thank goodness you had the at home workouts. And that was a lifesaver for my mental health. Like, yes, physical, but like having that routine did so much for me in the pandemic, something to look forward to. And it really helped me out. And like my eating habits and drinking was not the best, But just having that to feel like I'm kind of balancing it out really, like, really helped. It really helped, you know?
Yeah, I wanted to bring it up just as encouragement to everyone out there that, like, sometimes when you're in a rut, you say things that like that to yourself, like, oh, the last thing I'm thinking about is working out, which, you know, rightfully so, because there's so many crazy things that we're having to go through on a daily basis. It seems like besides just the coronavirus, that there's a new hurdle that we probably are, you know, socially trying to overcome. But mm-hmm. the working out is really like, it's medicine to the mind. It is. And anyone listening out there that is going through, you know, troubling times, like many of us are, you know, I just want to encourage you that, you know, moving your body is, you know, medicine to the mind.
Yeah. And I mean, yes, it's called Built for the Stage. And even though the stage isn't happening for a lot of people right now, it really is good mental medicine. It really worked wonders for me. It really did.
Yeah. Tell us something about the next couple of days where you're going to be closing shop and then going to your next city. How has it been as a cast, like prepping for that transition? Like, have they laid it out pretty clear that things will be the same as far as protocols go, or is it going to be different from city to city?
You know, that's a good question. We actually have our company meeting tomorrow about that, because each state is different. Their states are different. New South Wales, where Sydney is different than Victoria, where we are now. And then Brisbane's in Queensland. And they're all really good about dealing with cases by each state. And so when we get there, we don't really know. We're assuming that we'll have to do the same thing just to be safe, but we're not sure.
Okay, so tomorrow's the big company meeting. We'll have to do a follow-up interview to see what they say.
I'll send it to you. You can just post like a little message.
Just send me the notes from the company meeting. I'll put that on our Instagram, on our social media. Absolutely. And let everyone know.
Sure.
All right, Colby, we're going to let you get to bed, my friend. Thank you so much for staying up. It's now, you know, almost 1:30 in the morning over there in Melbourne. Nah. So thank you so much.
It's fine. I see 1:30 often. We're good. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. And truly, I'm just so just excited and filled with joy that you're experiencing this, and that you are kind of like giving us hope over here. So keep enjoying that time on the stage. I know you are, and super happy for you that you're getting to do what you love to do.
I don't know. I appreciate it. And again, thank you for giving me something to look forward to every day. I really am grateful for it. Thank you.
My pleasure. All right, everyone. That was Colby Kendall. Thanks so much for listening to Built for the Stage podcast. If you like the podcast, please rate, subscribe, leave a comment. Check us out on Instagram or TikTok at Built for the Stage. We're on Twitter, BFTS Broadway. Don't forget about our producing team, the Broadway Podcast Network, bpn.fm. All right. It's me, Roscoe, signing off.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No,
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.